The song Born to be Wild is so often associated with motorcycle riding, but maybe a different song is in order for riding electric motorcycles, especially when the vehicle in question is a little more than a motorcycle, but a bit less than a car. That's the very basic description of the electric vehicles designed by Arcimoto, a company based in Eugene. A few weeks ago, Arcimoto unveiled its eighth-generation design for the vehicle it plans to produce next year. The company boss joins us once again to talk about the distance traveled so far and what lies ahead, and that is Mark Frohnmayer. Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you. Good morning.
So, good morning. Talk about the founding impetus. What got you started on the whole project in the first place?
Well, I was actually a bicycle commuter for many years and had become a recent homeowner at the same time that I had sold a software company. And I was looking for a vehicle that would get me around town. So I wanted to, go over, visit the parents for dinner and not get wet and not have to travel in an active way. And so, but I didn't want a car. I was looking for something that was going to be much lighter footprint on the road, much less energy consumption, easier to park, easier to maneuver, and so on. And when I looked out in the marketplace, I just couldn't find the right mix.
There was nothing out there that quite fit the niche you were looking for.
Right. Well, and if you think about how most of us get around most of the time, we usually travel, drivers travel by themselves, sometimes with another person. Usually a relatively short distance. I think the national average is about 33 miles traveled a day. But the tool that everyone uses for that job has just far more capacity. And when you scale up that overcapacity, it just means that we have to have, many much wider roads. We take up much more of our urban landscape in terms of parking lots and asphalt. And when you look on the global level, it obviously has huge ramifications in terms of climate and urban congestion and so on.
I must admit, I was thinking about some of these very same things as I was taking a pickup truck to drive all of 6 miles to work. So I didn't really need that much vehicle, but it's what I had available for me today.
Right. We're trying to solve that problem for you in a much more fun, much more energy efficient, much more cost efficient way.
So is it a big motorcycle or is it a small car?
It is a motorcycle. It's a three-wheelers in the U.S. are classed as motorcycles. And I think actually the Generation 8 design lands much more clearly in that category. So we've always, the three-wheeler, I think people conventionally think of a motorcycle as a two-wheel vehicle, a car as a four-wheel vehicle. So, what's that thing in between? For us,
you're hoping people just start to use the term Arcimoto, I'm sure.
Yeah, there you go. It's my ride. and I think in terms of that class, we definitely want to be in the motorcycle class of efficiency, of sort of maneuverability within the city, but then also not fall over, protect you from the weather, protect you from impact, have much more carrying capacity and so on. And there just isn't really a category yet that fully captures that.
So the major issue that with electric cars is the cruising range. So the question, and this is really kind of designed as an around town kind of vehicle, right?
Right. If you're paying $30,000, $40,000, $100,000 for an electric car, you have a certain set of expectations about what that type of a device is going to do. We're looking at something that it falls much more in the price range of something you would pay for a side-by-side ATV or a souped-up motorcycle or whatever, something that's in that more of a credit card purchase toy price range rather than full-size electric car. So that right now the electric car is too expensive and doesn't go far enough. But if you really look at just solving that get-around-town problem, well, batteries have been able to do that for a long time.
And so what is the range anticipated for the SRK8?
We're planning a 70-mile range for the base model, and then which, for anywhere in Oregon, Eugene, Portland, Southern Oregon, is perfectly fine. We're also planning to have a range upgrade option to 130 miles if you live in a much larger metropolitan area like the California Bay Area or Los Angeles and so on.
Will the upgrade just involve a bigger battery, more batteries? What do you figure there?
It's going to be more, it will likely be just simply more power capacity within the battery pack. And that is going to mean more cells, and potentially different chemistry.
Mark Frohnmayer is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the founder and president of Arcimoto, based in Eugene, planning to build three-wheeled motorcycles. They're not quite cars. They're bigger than motorcycles, that's for sure. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the plans. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Why is it called the SRK8? Did the initials stand for something?
So we had some folks up from Hollywood early on in the project, like 2010, and one of them, after having a chance to drive one of our earlier prototypes, said, "I feel like I'm driving a shark, a powerful animal on the road. I've got so much control." And that was really where the name SRK was born.
Was that Nathan Fillion, one of the Hollywood people?
He was. Well, it was actually Nathan's co-star, John Huertas, who came up with that sort of animal reference. But that was on the trip where the both of them came up to Eugene and drove around our Generation 4 prototype.
They're both stars of the ABC show Castle. What prompted them to come up to Eugene?
Well, I think in a lot of ways they had had the same sort of that same problem. They were driving these large vehicles to get to work by themselves, and thinking, you know, there's got to be a better way. And when they went and started doing a bunch of internet searching, they came across our project. So they did the same search I did. They just did it 3 years later.
Ah, so they found something.
Yeah, they found us.
Huh, interesting. So the price of the SRK8, then, you're talking something like $12,000 for the vehicle and maybe another $3,000 for the enclosure, roughly, at this point?
Yeah, we haven't priced out the upgrades just yet, so those are pretty ballpark. But we're aiming for a base price of $11,900. Mm-hmm. And that's, we want to have a very functional, very useful base model, and then a lot of different ways that you can add value to the product, whether it's the full enclosure panels, the longer range battery. We have a delivery option where we take out the second seat and actually have a small parcel or pizza delivery or whatever, something you can splash your brand on. For all of the type of, I mean, you think about fleets that are doing medical supplies and so on. This would be a really ideal vehicle for a lot of different fleet applications.
Let's take a call. We have Mark in Reading on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Mark Frohnmayer, the founder and president of Arcimoto in Eugene.
Good morning. I'm wanting to know, well, since your vehicle is classed as a motorcycle, will a driver of it need to have a motorcycle endorsement on his driver's license?
So the classification of vehicle is a federal question. It's the federal government that determined that a three-wheeler is a motorcycle, but it's the states that regulate licensing and helmet requirements and so on. And those regulations for three-wheelers vary by state. So in California, in Oregon, you don't need a motorcycle license. You don't need a helmet because of the carve-outs in the DMV code. And those laws vary by state, but even in states that require you to have a motorcycle endorsement, you can actually take your test using the vehicle itself. So even though it is a motorcycle class vehicle, in terms of operation, you're not counter-steering, you're not leaning. It rides more like a quad with the handlebar control and actually having your feet planted. And so learning to operate it takes, you know, a minute or two.
How agile is it? I know that having taken the motorcycle test in Oregon, you got to do that test around the cones, and I can imagine in other states that might be a little tricky, but you tell me about the Arcimoto. How well does it handle?
Oh, great. It's one of the benefits of electric vehicles is that they have this ballast in the form of a battery pack. And so the from a center of gravity point of view, weight balance point of view, it's a really nice ride. You actually sit astride the battery, so it's riding right on the bottom plane of the vehicle, and then the mass of the drivetrain is largely in front of the front axle center line. So you have a lightweight vehicle with a very low center of gravity positioned right where you want it in between the drive wheels. And it just ends up being a very nimble, agile form on the road that's also a very level platform. So it doesn't, it rides somewhere between a quad and a small sports car.
So given that when you first started the project, you couldn't find anything quite like what you were looking for, and obviously the you mentioned the guys from Castle discovering you because they did the same search 3 years later. There obviously have been buildups in the electrical vehicle industry since that time. I mean, we got Brammo in the Rogue Valley building electric motorcycles already. So I just wonder.
We're down in California now. We popped by Brammo on our way down and said hello. They're doing some very cool stuff down there in Ashland.
Well, that was the question, whether you're able, there are synergies, you're able to buy drivetrains off the shelf or anything like that, or if everything's had to be engineered from square one for Arcimoto.
Yeah, when we started, it was still very, very Wild West, and there were, you know, sort of everyone was working on their own home-baked solutions. I think where we're at now, there are many more solutions that are available off the shelf from major suppliers and certainly from some new drivetrain providers like Brammo.
Mark Frohnmayer, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, founder and president of Arcimoto, based in Eugene, constructing or planning to construct a three-wheeled vehicle called the SRK-8, with deliveries expected sometime perhaps late next year. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange with questions or comments about this particular electric vehicle, or more broadly about electric vehicles. 800-838-3760 on the phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So no helmet required. You mentioned the low center of gravity. What kinds of safety equipment built into the SRK-8?
So the safety model that we've actually been patterning after is something that BMW proved right around 2000 with a product called the C1. And so what we have is a full safety cell around both occupants, two harnesses for each. So you have a 3+2 seat belt, 3-point on one side, and then a 2-point that comes across the other shoulder, which just has been shown to do better in rollovers and in side impacts and so on. We have crumple zones in front and back for impact protection and then a side impact buffer as well. So versus other motorcycle class vehicles, certainly a big step beyond in terms of onboard safety features.
And Mark, how many prototypes are there at this point?
So we, from the beginning of the company, we have built we built one of each generation before, and then we have now built three within the Generation 8 template. We put an engineering mule on the road in August, and that's what we really used to do. We have built what we're calling alpha prototypes, and these are ones that actually look and feel and drive like the actual product, but there's still a lot of work between now and production.
And boy, how many hours does it take? You're essentially hand making these then, aren't you?
We are. They're getting dramatically shorter with each pass. So the alphas went together much more quickly than the engineering mule did, because you figure out which fasteners are hard to get to and which pieces don't go together quite right and have more of the fastener holes cut as part of the original model versus kind of ground out afterwards. And ultimately the goal will be to have the vehicles come together in just a few hours.
So you're taking reservations, the website says. Have you gotten many so far?
We have. We've actually, we put up a new website in mid-October, and we have had more pre-orders since then than we had in the first 7 years of the company. We're right up around 300 now.
So 300 people are interested in buying this thing. How fast can you crank them out? I mean, we're talking about the amount of time it took to build the prototypes. You said it gets a lot shorter when you go beyond prototype, but how many can you build in a certain amount of time, and where? It sounds like Eugene shop has some serious limits.
Yeah, we're in a design studio now. We've got about 5,000 square feet of space, certainly not enough to do real mass production. The near-term goal is to be producing at a rate of 10,000 vehicles a year, and that's what lets us hit a reasonable price point for our first customers. The plan is to produce in Oregon. So we're looking at spaces in Eugene, just within about a couple miles of our shop, to do actually build out some automated manufacturer cells for some of the subcomponents, and then an actual assembly line.
All right, so you will have the real. It'll look somewhat similar, it sounds like, to what goes on at car factories.
Well, it's an order of magnitude less expensive in terms of sort of capital scale to build the kind of vehicle we're building than to build a full-size car. And a lot of that has to do with the method and materials of manufacture. So vacuum form plastics instead of stamped steel panels. It will look much more like a snowmobile manufacturing plant than it will a car plant.
Huh. And how does the weight compare between what you're talking about with the SRK8 and maybe a snowmobile and a regular motorcycle?
Well, so actually, a guy pulled up on his earlier on this trip and was talking about his 1,250-pound Harley, and then he said, "Well, how much does that thing weigh?" And we said, "Well, it's, you know, just over 1,100 pounds." So the SRK is actually lighter than some touring motorcycles out there, certainly within the same weight class as side-by-sides, be a little bit heavier than your typical quad. But about a quarter of the weight of a passenger car.
Tell us about the changes you made from the last model to the SRK8, because you had some issues. You're trying to drop size and weight here, and it sounds like you took a major revision on one part of it and got there.
Yeah, that was something we've been struggling with. We've always wanted to land in that 1,000-pound vehicle range, but we kept hitting 2,000 pounds, 1,700 pounds, 1,650 pounds. And it just had to do with the minimum size that we could shrink the vehicle platform. And what we did is we switched controls. So we had built our first seven vehicles all use steering wheels and pedals to operate, and we switched to handlebars. And that was really for the purpose of shifting the driver into a more upright seated position. Instead of the battery being under the vehicle, you actually now sit astride the battery, and it dramatically reduced the amount of space that you needed to have your legs sort of stretched out in front of you, and dramatically reduced the overall complexity and weight of the platform by about 600-700 pounds.
We're going to take a few more minutes with Mark Frohnmayer, the founder and president of Arcimoto, based in Eugene, working on building a bunch of SRK8s, the eighth generation of three-wheeled electric vehicle that is the specialty of Arcimoto. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 on the phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. With the battery between your legs, then, is there any heat element going on there? Anything, any warming up that you've had issues with dealing with?
Not significantly. So the batteries that we're using in the alpha prototypes and in the mule are, they stay pretty cool. They're lithium iron phosphate cells.
We're getting some cell phone fade, Mark. If you can move closer to a window or something, we'll make sure we don't get the concrete interrupting us.
Apologies.
Okay, there we go.
Is that coming through better?
Now we got you, yeah.
Great. So in terms of, we really haven't seen any heating issues with our prototype battery packs, and we will very likely actively cool the cells in the production packs.
Okay, active cooling. Let's take a call here from Brad in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Mark Frohnmayer from Arcimoto.
Yeah, thanks, and congratulations on this project. I've been thinking for quite a while that the small electric vehicle for around town use is the real big solution to our climate change needs. Get off of our gasoline engines. I wanted to let him know that there's a new, it's only been going a half a year or so, a club here in town for electric vehicles and hybrid vehicles. We're meeting, I think it's the second or third Tuesday of the month. They're called SOHEVA, S-O-H-E-V-A, Southern Oregon Hybrid and Electric Vehicles Association.
Nice.
And if people who are listening are interested in this topic, they can drop into a meeting at 7 o'clock. I think it's the second or maybe the third Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Of the month at the library in Ashland.
All right, thanks for that, Brad. Appreciate it. So, Mark, this is the kind of choir you should be preaching to, right? You shopping around to similar groups?
Well, I'm thinking, we actually pass through pretty frequently as we're going to and from shows in California and Arizona, Las Vegas, et cetera. So perhaps we can align a trip and show up at one of your meetings.
Sounds cool. How much does the drop in the price of gasoline affect what you're doing here? Because it's a lot easier for people to think, what the heck, I'll just stick with my car because, gas is less than $2.50 a gallon right now.
Well, I think that the change in gasoline prices that happens so frequently and so dramatically shows that, one, it's a pretty volatile source of fuel, right? So it's clearly not something you can count on. Electricity, dependable, super low cost. But more than that, I think what we're really selling is a very different experience than what you get with a gas-powered vehicle.
In fact, you described this vehicle as a disruptor, right?
Well, it is disruption is a pretty overused term generally. When we use it, we mean it more in the academic sense of a product that has a fundamentally lower cost business model. And that's not just the operating cost. It's, I mean, the average new car costs more than $30,000. So you save on the sticker price right up front dramatically. And then you're paying 1 or 2 cents a mile to operate it. So even if gas is $2.50, you're still going to save thousands of dollars over the lifetime of the vehicle driving electric.
So you need to have people, parts, and orders all come together. All the stars have to align for you to be able to crank these out, as you're talking about, perhaps by the end of next year. Are you pretty much in alignment?
Absolutely. Well, what we're doing now is determining really what is the overall size of the market for something like this. Driving pre-order adoption, that helps us make the case for a volume manufacturing facility that can let us hit the price that we're actually selling them for. So it's a delicate equation to balance, but we're seeing a lot of interest out there everywhere we go.
Quickly, since we've just got a few seconds left, somebody was asking about the side panels, how weather tight they are if you buy those and snap those on.
We're planning on having them be weather tight. Even though you stay very dry when you're riding it open because you've got the full fairing, if you want to be fully enclosed, you can.
Okay. Mark Frohnmayer is the founder and president of Arcimoto, planning to put the SRK8 out in volume by the end of next year. Thanks for joining us once again on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having me.